1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. This is a verse that is full. It's full of meaning and things that we need to understand. All right, I'm going to read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now that's great is the, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And then this is what it is, that he explains it to us. And so that's what we're going to look at. This is an outline, really, for a life that's truly godly. The mystery of godliness, that speaks of us. Because God is God. Godliness is nothing to him. He's God. He's always God. God is godly, naturally. He's the standard. We compare ourselves to him, and that's where we get this idea of godliness. Godliness. It's necessary. It's a thing that happens when a person is really saved. It's a work that goes on in our life. Sanctification. We're being formed and molded to the image of God. And so it was a mystery until Jesus came and showed us through his life the mystery of godliness. Now just stay with me here and we'll hurry through this. But this is not what you see as much as what others see in you. The mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Now you see who that's speaking of. It's speaking of Christ. But that applies to us. We follow him. We're disciples of him. We walk in his steps. We become like him. And that is the work of sanctification until we come to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. The fullness of the measure, the stature, the fullness. I'm tired. I had it right the first time. Being like Christ. Without controversy. It's great is the mystery of godliness. It means it's loud, clear. It's loud and clear. It's not weak and foggy and hard to see. It's very clear. It's not what we see in ourselves. It's what others see in us without controversy. There's no argument against it. It's so obvious and no one can object to the truth of it. You want to know what godliness is? This mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. First point. First thing he says here. Now, manifest in the flesh. We know that Jesus was made flesh and dwelt among us. He came and he was born of a virgin. He lived in an earthly, fleshly body here on earth. Now, your body becomes a screen, sort of, on which people see God. You understand that? I mean, we are his epistles written in flesh, see? We're his epistles. People watch us more than they read the Word of God, obviously. They judge God by the way we act. They see God or they're blinded to God by the way we carry on in our body. Manifest in the flesh. God was manifest, made known, made visible, shown clearly in the flesh. Jesus did it. He was God, incarnate. He had a body of flesh and bone and blood. And he lived on this earth and he showed us the Father. And so if we've seen him, we've seen the Father, he said. Yeah. God was manifest in the flesh. That is godliness. That is part of the mystery of godliness. The first point, we're able to see God through somebody living in the flesh. We see God, about God's work in our life and having control of our life entirely, people see God. Now that's the whole deal. We're his ambassadors here on earth. We're the representatives of God. We're here to show them Christ, to show them God. Well, how do we do that? Is it with words? That's not, our words are ineffective if there's not something else with it. It's got to be backed up by a testimony. It's got to be backed up by the way we live and a bunch of other things, which we're going to mention here. But we can see God's character if we know one of his true people. We can see his mercy if we know a real Christian. We can see his love if we know one of his real adopted children. Somebody's born into his family. We can see God's character. We can see his mercy. We can see his love. We can see his grace in people. Godliness, like God. Being like God. And it's more than that. You know, we preached on that back here some time ago. And we brought that out. But this is not a conscious effort that we put forth to show people something they don't know. This is not something that we do, you know, of our own self on purpose. We don't plan it and we don't work. It's not like a sales pitch. It's not like a presentation that we do. We don't consciously do this. Christ living in us becomes visible to those without. That's how this thing works. Godliness, God is manifest in the flesh. People can see God in us if we're really his. If there's really been a work of God and God has saved our soul, we're really a new creature in Christ and all things are passed away, they can see God in us. It's not a conscious thing that we do. It's the natural result of a right relationship to God. When a person gets right with God, it's just the natural thing for him or her to live and behave and carry on in their body in a way that honors God and makes other people realize there's a difference here. That's what's so wrong about this sin and religion of today, where they make no difference between the holy and the profane, and they make no difference between clean and unclean. There's a big difference. If God is not manifest in the flesh, if it's somebody who's not living right, if they're abusing their body, if they're defiling their body, if they use their members as servants of unrighteousness and servants of sin, God is not manifest in them. It's only when they're sanctified. It's only when they quit that stuff and they quit walking and living and continuing in sin for real. Then God is manifest in the flesh. It's only then that people begin to think that maybe there is something to this. Maybe there is something different here. Maybe God is real. And maybe God has done something for this person. The only reason they would think that is if you quit walking and living and continuing in sin. It's the result of being one with God and his presence becoming bigger than yours. You see what I mean? You ever be around somebody where, I mean, they just make God real. And they don't do it consciously. Just their attitude, the way their mind thinks, what their mind thinks, the things they say, the way they conduct themselves, the way they behave in their body, makes you realize God's real. Jesus came to show us the Father, and that is what our life is about when we're truly Christ. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God's purpose for our life after he saves us is that he might manifest himself to the world through us. Now that's right. We're not People talk about us being trophies, you know, trophies of grace. I don't like that saying. Puts too much, that steals the glory from God. Makes us, I mean, it puts the glory on us. We're no trophy. Mercy. What in the world? It ought to go to Him. He ought to be glorified. It's about Him, not about us. It's about God and Christ. It's not about what He's done for us. So, Jesus came to show us the Father, and God's purpose for our life after He saves us is that He might manifest Himself through us to the world. The lesser light reflects the greater light, right? The lesser light is the moon. It reflects the light of the sun. When you're looking at the moon, you're seeing the light from the sun. The moon don't have any light of its own. It's reflecting the light. When people see us, they shouldn't glory in us. They shouldn't brag on us. They shouldn't wonder at how wonderful we are. They ought to wonder at how wonderful God is and how merciful God is. And if we don't, if the way we live, the way we talk, the way our life is, our attitude and everything, if it don't convey that, and if it don't produce that from the people, then we're off the mark. If all we did get is praise for ourselves, for what good people we are, and all of this, then, nah, we're not showing them God. God's not being manifested through us. And we're missing the mark, and we're missing the whole purpose of it all. He can only do that when we're completely yielded to Him. And so the trials and the purifying works that He does in our lives to bring us to the place where we'll yield more and more to Him. That's what it's for. I must decrease and He must increase. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You see, He's saying the same thing. There's God, the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And then in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 11, He said the same thing. All this trouble and everything, we're always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. God manifest in the flesh. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There you go. This mystery. What mystery? Mystery of godliness. People can't figure it out. Never could. God's made it very, very clear. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. This is it. God was manifest in the flesh. Never had happened before. You didn't look at the Old Testament saints and see God. You've seen a person that feared God. You've seen a person that worshiped God, but it's a different thing now. God was manifest in the flesh. He was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Yes. And what did He say when He left? He said, the works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. Me and God, you know, this old thing, me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and God cannot share any glory. It must be entirely His, or He is not manifested in our mortal flesh. God, people don't see God in me if they're glorifying me. If they're seeing something in me that impresses them, then they're not seeing God. All right. Justified in the Spirit, it says. Again, it's not so much what I see or what I think of myself, but it's what others see through me, See? Justified in the Spirit. My spirit. If it's right, it is the Spirit of Christ. It not of myself and my own interest. You know, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. There's the spirit of man. You know, Calvinists believe you're dead spiritually, don't have a spirit. Well, the Bible contradicts that every time you turn around. The spirit of man does have a spirit. You do. But it's not the Holy Spirit until you get saved. And if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, then you're not justified in the Spirit. That's what it means. You got a bad spirit till you're saved. You got a wrong spirit till you're saved. A lot of people got a bad spirit about them. It's like the atmosphere around them. It's like the attitude they have toward other people. It's what people sense from them. More than just the things they do with their hands and their tongue and their everything else. It's more about the aura around them or something, if you want to put it that way. People judge you by your spirit as much or more than they judge you by your deeds that you do. They're much more critical and intolerant of a bad spirit than they are of bad deeds. They just won't put up with you. They don't see God in you if you got a bad attitude, sour face, hateful attitude. People will, they don't see God in us when we got a bad spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, etc., etc. We know that. That's what is manifested when the Spirit of God is in us. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, right? I mean, the Bible's clear about it. No Spirit of God. If your spirit's wrong, you ain't justified. Justified in the Spirit. Mystery of godliness. Manifest in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit. People recognize the fact when someone's spirit is yielded to another. And they also know when that spirit is self-serving, self-protecting, and self-preserving. People recognize what you're about. Just like they recognize that Jesus was a man set under authority, they recognize the same thing in us. That's our spirit, see? We're yielded. It's like the horse that's not broken, you know. He does what he wants. He ain't going to be controlled. And you're not going to say gee and haw to him. You're not going to force him one way or another. He's going to do what he pleases until he yields. Then he can be guided. He can be, and people see that in us. They know if you're a wild one. They know if you're your own person. If you're wild and follow your own, or they know, and they know if there's reins on you. They know that if you don't say what you think all the time, something holds you back. If a man bridleth not his tongue, his religion is vain. There's a bridle on you. The Spirit, justified in the Spirit. You're under the control of the Spirit of God. And people recognize that. And that's not a natural thing. That's not something that just happens to people naturally. They don't do that. Everybody does what they want. They say what they want. I mean, they have it their way, one way or another. And the attitude that they put out there and show tells. And people make a judgment right away. God's manifest in the flesh and justified in the Spirit. That's seen of angels. Well, here's what we know about angels. They're in the presence of God. And they see any reflection of God in the universe. The angels do. I mean, they can see. They see God. They see His creation. They see the likeness. Yeah, seen of angels. That ought to There's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Angels are in on this thing as far as observers. They can see what God's done. They can see clearly His image stamped on everything. They do. Seeing of angels. The godliness. Angels behold it in people, and it's a wonder. It is a wonder. How a sinful creature can be redeemed and restored and made whole and made godly, and people see God in him. Manifest God in this wicked world. Angels behold it. Now dead people don't become angels. I see that all the time. People say, well, God got another angel. No, that ain't the way it works at all. Nonsense. Fantasy. People are not angels. Angels are angels. People are people. It's a different thing altogether. It's obvious people say those things, they don't know anything at all about the Bible. Ain't that a shame that you can see the ignorance of the Word of God in people like that? Angels take notice when a mortal man becomes an image of God in the darkest place of the universe. They see it. Scene of angels. I would encourage you to think about that. There's a great cloud of witnesses. They're part of them. At least they're part of them. They see. Scene of angels. What else does it mean? Preached unto the Gentiles. So heaven takes notice, and so do the people on earth. Preached unto the Gentiles. Everybody knows when God is manifested in mortal flesh. Everybody knows when God dwells in a man or a woman. Oh my, makes such a difference. And people take notice. Angels take notice, so do people. It makes such an impression that it affects heaven and earth. Oh, believed on in the world. So the result of true godliness is that some do believe. Do you get that, man? Think about that. This is a mystery of godliness. Believed on in the world. Because God is manifest in the flesh, because people are justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, some believe on earth. In the midst of all this darkness, with all the opposition, with all that the devil can muster to blind the minds of everybody, still some believe. That's the power of God unto salvation. See, it's the gospel. It's God manifest in the flesh. People, God's not just an intellectual thing. Everybody wants to prove it. All the apologetics and all of that, they people try to prove it. That God exists and all of that with nature and by debunking evolution, which is very easy to do for a child even. But they try to prove the existence of God with that. Oh, no. The greatest proof we have is that God is manifest in the flesh. We know that God is real because we can see Him in other people. Oh my, yes. I was just thinking about it. You remember that little video we seen a few weeks ago of that man in the truck singing that song? How could you not realize God in somebody like that? How can you deny it? How could an infidel deny? It's a waste of time, almost seemed to me like, to try to scientifically prove the existence of God to some intellectual fool. Just praise God. Be real. Be justified in the Spirit. Yeah. Believed on in the world. In spite of all that's against God in this world, some do believe. That's a miracle, really. in spite of the darkness, in spite of the prince of darkness, in spite of the sin that abounds in this world, in spite of all the false religions and all the lies that are told about God. Some believe, anyway. It's powerful. I mean, this mystery of godliness, this is a powerful thing to understand. If you understand how this thing really works, that's how people believe. You preach the gospel, but there's got to be power with it. What do you think was the difference on the day of Pentecost? Now we know, don't we? We know. It was the Spirit of God. Jesus said, "Ye shall be endued with power." And they were. "With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection." I mean, the same people that were threatening them before, on their knees begging, "What do we do? What do we do?" I mean, they gave, there was just some power that came upon them, and everybody wants to make it some mysterious, magical, something like that, you know, like they had supernatural power. They did, but what was it? It was God manifest in the flesh. These people knew old Peter and James and John were fishermen. And we read it just the other day. They were ignorant and unlearned men. But what they had to say and the way they said it, my goodness, it was God speaking, manifesting himself through them. It couldn't have been anything else. Turned the world upside down. And thousands got saved that day, and thousands another day, and thousands another day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." Read it a while ago. I'm reading it to you again. "Received up into glory." All right? The end of a godly life is to be received into glory. John 14:3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus said that. A truly godly person belongs with God, and that is where he's headed. You know, I've said it a lot of times, but I mean, we went to Patrick Henry's farm when we were in Virginia one time, and we went through his house and saw the grave out back and saw the little bush that George Washington sent to him still growing there by the grave, and the tree out in the yard. Remember that great big old tree? Been there all these years and everything. But the guide told, it's a state park kind of thing, you know. I mean, and this guide, young man, guiding us, he told us, he said that Patrick Henry was laying on this bed. We were looking at the bed where he laid dying. And said he was dying. And he called for his doctor, who was an infidel. And the doctor come in. And the doctor had great respect for him, but he was an infidel. He said, "What can I do for you? What can I do?" And he said, "You can do nothing for me." He said, "I just wanted you to see how a Christian dies." So, God manifest in the flesh. Oh, yeah. Some of the greatest testimonies, some of the greatest things have happened and come forth from the deathbeds of Christians because they die with such grace. The Romans, they talked about it. They said about the Christians, they die well. No matter how they tortured them, no matter what unimaginable deaths they come up with, ways to put them to death, they died well. And there's testimonies and testimonies of martyrs who, you remember it was something I read about in Russia. They put all these, they had like 40 Christian men. They took all their clothes off of them, and then it was like in Siberia where it was, I mean, sub-zero weather. Forced them to go out on a lake, naked, in the cold, and till they freeze to death if they won't recant. And one of the guards gave up and joined them. One of the men left and the guard took his place and died with him. See the power of it? See? There's more than just intellectual reasoning and debating and arguing, and it's more than just facts of natural things and earthly things. There's this mystery of godliness. This is what it's about. Godliness gets it done. Yes, it does. Gets it done. The ungodly are not so. They'll be separated from God forever. So God's purpose for my life and yours is this. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 16. To reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. That's God's purpose. That's God's purpose for my life and yours. To reveal His Son in me, that others might see Jesus in me. See, we talk about it. You hear it a lot, but how much does it really mean to most people? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Okay? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So you see what I've been preaching to you? You see it all summed up in that verse. Earthen vessel, flesh. Yeah, we're in an earthen vessel, but we've got this treasure. What treasure? It's God. God living in us. That's Christ live in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, God manifest in the flesh, God showed to the world through us. Amen. So that's the mystery of godliness. That's just a little bit to think about. Well, let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll dismiss. Go home. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for allowing us to be together tonight. Lord, there's some good stuff here to think about. Pray everybody to take it, dwell on it, study it, meditate on it, and Lord, seek to see it in their own life. Lord, help us all that we would be good ambassadors for you, and that people could see you in us, and Lord, not us. Oh Lord, that we would decrease and you would increase. Help us, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen.